Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I've had a week off, so that was a lot of fun. We left on Saturday and flew to flew to Phoenix, Arizona, and spent some time with brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and ate a lot. We did a lot of eating. We went to a cool barbecue place. I can't even remember the name. And they brought some friends that they met with, and we had a good time eating barbecue. I didn't have barbecue, believe it or not, when I went there. They start the meal off with cornbread, and their cornbread was awesome. But I ordered the prime rib sandwich, and it had a dipping sauce. And instead of fries, I went with a baked potato. And I don't know why, but I wasn't craving barbecue. So I was really happy with my choice, as I have been really loving prime rib sandwiches lately. It's like one of my go-tos. A lot of Italian restaurants have, prime rib sandwiches, and I like them a lot. A matter of fact, one of the Italian places that I usually get to after COVID, COVID's not over, but when the restaurant started opening up again, we went there and I'm like, I'm gonna get that prime rib sandwich I told Barb, and they didn't have it. So I was like, oh, I was really bummed out. But it was really good. Barb had the chicken, like a rotisserie smoked chicken. It was very tasty. And then she had a couple of sides. She had the beans and like fried corn, which was kind of a unique topping for a barbecue place. And then the next night we had Italian, which was Chicago pizza. I can't remember the place, but it's the same restaurant chain that started off in Chicago. It made its way to Phoenix, and I know there was one in Denver, but it shut down. And we love the pizza there, and they had the calamari, so we had the calamari appetizer, and then had a pepperoni jalapeno small pizza. And their pizzas are big, these Chicago style. It's like I always make fun of them. It's like a casserole, not a pizza. But having said that, like when I can have a real Chicago pizza. And not like something like from Chicago, old Chicago's, but like a real Chicago pizza. I will choose a Chicago pizza over a New York pizza. And I love New York pizza. It's usually like a lot of garlic and sauce, and you usually have to fold it. But man, I'm obsessed with the cheese and the sauce that's in the casserole, the Chicago pizza. Yeah. And I've had like a. I'm kind of curious about a Detroit pizza. I have had a frozen Detroit pizza and it sucked, but I'm curious about that. So yeah, we'll see someday. But we also went to a comic store. My brother-in-law said, I got a surprise for you. I'm taking you to a comic store." He didn't tell me where we're going. I kind of guessed where we're going. The second surprise I didn't guess, but I had been there before. He had taken me there before. He took me to Samurai Comics, and I wasn't really expecting it. And I wasn't really planning on buying anything, 'cause actually on the trip I was totally in a digital mode. I w recently got the 30-day trial. Well, actually, a 30-day plus 2-week trial on Comixology Unlimited, and really impressed with the content. Like, I had downloaded Grendel because I haven't been exposed to Grendel, and I said I'm gonna probably read Grendel on the plane. But I opened up the Grendel, and like that first issue that's in the Grendel primer, it's like all prose. It's like prose with art, and it kind of turned me off. And I'm like, I don't feel like that right now. I wanted to read some, being Halloween, some horror comics. So I got too into the Zenoscope. I saw they had Grim Tales of Terror Volume 1. And I downloaded all 13 copy, issues of those issues from Comixology Unlimited, and I read them all. I gobbled them up, last week. And that was what I read a lot of the trip. I read a lot of Xenoscope. I read Day of the Dead, which was the origin of Mystery and Talisman. And I enjoyed that. The Cinderella serial killer, it was all right. It felt like a Dead Pill kills the Marvel Universe, except in the Xenoscope world, where she was being tasked, Cinderella. She's a bad person by the Tarot organization, who was sort of the villains that are in the mystery book. Very tight continuity in these books, by the way, And then she was very vengeful against Robin Hood. Yeah, that ended up in a climax with her fighting Robin Hood. But it seemed like she was killing like major characters, and I don't really think they're dead, so I didn't understand that. She was going like to every realm, 'cause there's the realms, there's like Neverland, there's Oz. I can't remember all the different realms, but there's like knights that protect those realms too. But yeah, I really enjoyed that, and then I decided to download The Bionic Man, because I've never read it, even though I own it. And I read Kevin Smith's Bionic Man, which is the first 10 issues, which was originally a screenplay for the $6 Million Man reboot. I don't know whatever happened to it. I think it would have been a good movie. Because it told the origin stories. It kind of had the Jamie Summers on the side, and described the OSI, and then gave a really good villain in terms of Hull, which was the first Bionic Man, if you will, that kind of went nuts. Because they have like radioactive discharge, and if they don't get cleaned, they could die from the discharge. And in this case, he didn't die, he just became corrupted, null. And they sent Steve, after he lost all his limbs, pretty much, after him, because Oscar was part of OSI, but he wasn't the leader. Really good story. And then this morning, I read Phil Hester's after Kevin Smith left, and it was much better. I don't know what he did, but he made it like episodic, like the old TV show was. Like the $6 Million Man, I didn't remember this, by the way. I read it in a back issue magazine, that the $6 Million Man premiered as three movies, which were 90 minutes each, and then became a series after that. And I don't remember them premiering as movies. I remember the multiple parter on the Bigfoot, but I don't remember them premiering as movies. And I remember religiously watching every $6 Million Man episode that was ever out, ever, except for one. I'll tell this story real quick. One night, I was getting ready. The $6 Million Man was gonna go undercover as a cop. And I wanted to see this episode bad. Like, I had seen the previews and I was really excited. And to this day, I haven't seen that episode, even though I own the DVDs. And I always tease my brother about this. Like, you made me miss one of the episodes of $6 Million Man. And what happened is my brother decided it was a good time, to color. And when you're coloring, why not stick a crayon up your nose? And he stuck a crayon up his nose and snorted it in so far that my parents couldn't pull it out, and he couldn't breathe. So he had to take him to the emergency room. And I didn't get to see my $6 million man, because he kept shoving it up, and they'd say, blow it out, blow it. And he would like suck in before he'd blow it out, and it'd go farther and farther up his nose. So I didn't get to see that $6 million episode, man, because my brother decided to shove a crayon up his nose. But I did have a $6 million man doll. I still have it. I have a unique, weird looking ship that came with it too. And so yeah, the $6 million man, I opened him recently. I found him. He came with an engine block. He had the prosthetic arms that you could pull back and you could see the bionics under the arms. And a switch on the back, I think, for his arm. He had the bionic legs and then the eye where you can like look through the eye. I didn't have any other Bionic Man. I didn't have a Jamie Summers, and I didn't have Oscar Goldman or any of the villains that came out. But this $6 million man doll was about the size of an original G.I. Joe, about 12 inches, because that they made like boys' dolls the way they made girls' dolls. They were pretty big before the action figure scene took over. But many, many years ago, and these are in one of the closets upstairs, my brother bought me for my birthday a Mego $6 million man and a Sasquatch Bigfoot that came together, which was really cool. So, but yeah, I spent a lot of time reading that in Zenoscope books, and I didn't get to Grendel. 'Cause that first book just seemed unapproachable, and I didn't want to start anywhere else in that omnibus that I downloaded. So I still have it on the iPad, and I'll get to it. I have to do it like on a Saturday morning when I'm fresh and I can read prose. But yeah, that's what I read on the trip, and that's sort of eight. And then we went to a store. Let's see if I have them accessible. We went to Samurai Comics. This was in Goodyear. Really beautiful store. I noticed they had Bad Idea. They had Bad Idea in stock too, which was interesting. I didn't expect. I've never been to a Bad Idea store. I usually get my Bad Idea comics online, and I was surprised that they had them. They had ENIAC and a lot of other ones that I just kind of looked around at in stock. So I was pretty surprised. The Pirate Queen I looked at, and the Monster book that just came out, they had that. They had a lot of wall books. Like, this was a well-stocked store in terms of finding what you want. Not a big back issue presence. The wall books were almost everything I had. They had a lot of books under glass, almost everything I had. Not real big, expensive books. I think some of their biggest books were like, I don't know, $35. So they didn't have a lot of like big books, like older issues. I didn't go through their dollar bin because it didn't look like they had one, and their back issues looked like they were current, like current back issues, ones that they just didn't sell on the shelf. So, but in terms of cleanliness and new comics, this store had it all. It was really nice. And but they did have some odd stuff, like I have been getting Underground Comics, and I didn't know about Underground Comics. I mean, I knew about Crumb and stuff like that, but I never read them. And I bought the third issue to Lee Mars, The Further Fattening Adventures of Pudge Girl Blimp. This is an underground comic book from back in the day. And then Dr. Wortham's Comics and Stories. This is issue number three. And then I bought Rip Off Comics number five. And then I found, so I was, of those titles, I was aware of the rip-off comics because I had another issue of that. And then I found this weird book, Land Graphics Publications, Starfighters number 4, which is magazine size, and the art in this look awesome. And it was only $3, and I picked it up. I looked through it already. It looks fantastic. I'm gonna try to track the back issues of this. Definitely. I added them to my comic shop want list. I don't remember if they had them in stock. I don't think they did. God, I'm getting hungry. That's weird. I'm gonna not make it to lunch. It's not even lunch yet, but I'm hungry. So I did get that one. That was Starfighters number 4. And that's what I got at Samurai Comics. I didn't spend a lot there. I wasn't planning on buying anything unless there were some old issues. But then my brother-in-law took me to a place that I had been to before, but wasn't expecting to go to. It was an antique store. And the last time I went to the antique store, which was about 3 years ago, I believe, maybe four, I was able to find comic scene magazines and some old magazines, and I was hoping, like the focus I could focus on is getting some old comic scenes or old magazines. And didn't really find a lot of magazines, other than ran into old, Rolling Stone, and I ran into one magazine, a Honeymooners Illustrated magazine, which is a comic book I didn't even know about, but I did pick that up. And then the rest of the stuff I picked up, that Honeymooners magazine was really the only magazine-sized thing I found. And they had like all kinds of toys. I was like wowed by the He-Man figures they had and Star Wars figures, and a lot of them were affordable. They had a lot of the Star Wars 12-inch of characters that I had never even known they came out in 12-inch, like Bossk and some of those bounty hunters that were in Empire Strikes Back that were not even, they're not even like C-list characters to me. They just appeared. Like Bossk is a pretty big bounty hunter, and Boba Fett and IG-88, but some of those other guys, they're just there. They're just scenery. But I picked up a Xena Warrior Princess number 1. I already had a number 1, but this was a cover photo, so I picked it up. I picked up, this was a good find for really cheap. This was an Evil Ernie Returns from the Black Label Chaos Comics. And it's World Premiere Edition, limited to 250 copies. So I was happy to find that because I wanted to pick up some Chaos Comics. And then the gems that I found there, because these books are hard to find, is I found a Binky's Buddies number 12. This looks like a good copy, but it has a tear on the cover and somebody taped it. But they taped it really well. And I picked that up. And then Binky number 76. And then I picked up Atomic Angels number 1. And this is a Crusade comic. I don't have too many Shy comics. This is the Billy Tucci company. And I was able to pick up number 1 and 2 of Atomic Angels. Don't know no nothing about that really. Never had I had a couple of Shy comics, but not much. Maybe it's she. I don't know how to pronounce it. Especially being that I pronounced Shang-Chi wrong for since the 70s. It's really Shang-Chi. And then I got Angel Fire number 1, also from Crusade Comics. I found a Power Lords. I remember when this came out. It was a mini series based on the toys. Number one of three. So that's cool. I found a Micronauts Kazza from Image Comics number one. I've always wanted to complete. I have a full run of Micronauts Volume 1. I need to get Micronauts New Beginnings. I need to finish that series. And then finish the Devil's Due and Image comics of those. I did find another gem I found. Anytime I could find an Elvira's House of Mystery, I jump on it. And I found issue 10 there. So I was real happy about that. I want to get a full run of Now Comics' Fright Night, and I did find an issue of that. And then I found a comic book I've never heard of before. Don't know much about it, but I saw Norm Brayfogle on the cover, Patrick Olief, some big names that I had heard of, Paul Chadwick. There's a Discover an Entire Universe from Marvel Comics Open Space. And this is one of those thick, deluxe formatted comic books, and square bound. Picked up an issue of that. So that kind of summarizes my trip. Other than we did go to, I don't know where this was because I wasn't paying attention, but there's two aquariums in Arizona. We went to one of them. This one was at a boardwalk, and at that boardwalk they have a Ripley's Believe It or Not. They have like a dinosaur thing. They have a butterfly exhibit. We went on the butterfly exhibit and the aquarium, and those were a lot of fun. The butterfly thing was really unique because you go into this one exhibit and they're flying all around, buzzing. They're on the floor. They're on the air. They're everywhere, and you could stay in there as long as you like, but it was a pretty cool exhibit. And then we came home. I still have Thursday and Friday off. Thursday I did nothing. I kind of lounged. I have plans, but I was just being lazy coming back from the trip, and I just watched Dune. To this day, I will never understand why people love Dune. I tried to read that book, got 100 pages into it, and I just couldn't do it several years ago. And then I had seen the movie when it came out, and it was one of the most boring things I've ever read. But since I had HBO Max, I decided to watch it, and it is a slow burn, man, for a movie. That made, 50 million domestically. I just don't see like a global appeal for it. I still can't see it. And the fact that it ended on a cliffhanger is very disturbing in the fact that Warner Brothers hadn't committed to a trilogy or even a sequel until the movie was released, and I guess it justified a sequel. But I will see a sequel now that I've seen this. I liked it somewhat. I was intrigued, even though it was slow as hell, as molasses. Like I was telling Barb, there's no way in hell. Most of the TV that I watch without Barb is on the elliptical. And I was telling Barb, this is not an elliptical movie. I said I like to be escape with movies or TV shows while I'm on the elliptical, so I don't think about exercising. And I was saying, man, this was so slow paced that if I was on the elliptical, I would be looking at the clock. Am I done yet? Am I done yet? It makes you think about the exercise, and when you're exercising, you don't want to think about the exercise. You want to get stuck in the show. At least that's where I want to escape. But anyway, that's where everything is, and I thought I would go into I'll do one question, and one of the questions I'm gonna do a redo on because I've thought about it a little bit more. If it's here, What are your top five on your current want lists at any moment and why? I mean, realistic, affordable wants, not things like Action Comic number one. This is a question I could answer every episode because Dallo, if you've listened to me long enough, I can't stay focused. Every week there's something new that I want. And there's a comic line called Blackout Comics, and they're kind of like Bad Girl comics, and those are the ones that I would like to get this week. And I would also like to get I'd like to finish my Punisher Volume 1. Well, actually, it's Volume 2. Volume 1 is the limited series, and then Volume 2. That ran about 104 issues, and I'm missing some issues in the 50s, 60s, and then from like 90 to 104. So that's something that I'd like to just complete and just be done with it. Just say, hey, I have my Punisher. I already have the War Zone. I think I need to still get War Journal, some issues there. But that's something that I'm interested in. Hulk is a run that I would also like to finish. But one of the other runs that I want to talk about that I am going to commit to that I want to finish and just get it over with is Spawn. I want to finish that run just like I did Savage Dragon. I want to get it done. And I went forth and got one of those issues that I think it was 226 that I needed. It was an expensive one because it was a knockoff of his a parody off of McFarlane's Hulk run on the cover that had the clown, and in the reflection you see Spawn. But that is I'm gonna try to do. Every other week, I'm gonna try to order on eBay a Spawn comic until I can finish them. So that's something that I want to do a committed focus on. And then another one that is on, or any of the House of Mystery, Ghosts, any of those books that I can run across and get in decent shape, I would like to do that. So yeah, there's a couple of things that I've been like very interested in getting, based on my current moods. And then there's a next episode I want to talk about a package I received from Dennis Chandler. He sent me a package. The only thing that I knew that he was sending me was a couple of issues of G.I. Joe, and I do want to finish my G.I. Joe run, and I'm still working on that. And I do have a set of comics coming from Aaron Myers that have a few more G.I. Joes in it that I could talk about once I get it. I forget what I ordered from him, but I am trying to close in on that G.I. Joe run, and that last issue is going to be a son of a bitch. I think it's like a $100, $200 book. But I'm just gonna do it, man. I just want to finish this run, and I do want to finish reading some of this stuff because I took a break from it. I didn't want the break. It's just that podcasting and stuff made me take the break from something that I was loving and in the mood of. Because I still have to do Geek Brunch, which we kind of assign books to ourselves, and DC Spotlight, and been really behind in that because of vacations, and me and Kyle haven't been able to align correctly. Like we'll have one week and then I'll say, okay, I can't make this week, can you make next week? And then the next week comes and then he's like, Mike, something came up, I can't make that week. So we've been like alternating weeks where when he's available I'm not available, when I'm available he's not available. So it's been alternating like that. It's been really weird. But yeah, he sent me, which I'll talk about in the next, some G.I. Joe books. Shit, I'll just talk about it now. He sent me a G.I. Joe 145 and 146, which I think he picked up from his comic shop, and he knew I was on a G.I. Joe kick. And then he sent me a bunch of war comics, really old ones. They're pretty beat up. There's a Golden Age one in this, a couple of Golden Age ones, though. There's a Battle Cry, which is a 10-cent edition from 1952. Great cover. It has a guy with a machine gun, and he says, "It took plenty of guts, blood, and heartbreak to take over this ridge, and no crummy Reds are gonna knock us off of it." And then there's a 10-cent GIs in Battle from Ajax Comics. On the cover, it says "Free RCA Victor Color TV Set and More." I wonder how you can get a free TV set. I'm gonna have to read about that. This one is really beat up. I would say VG minus to G, and then the cover is split, so it's like barely attached. But the interiors are really nice. It's a very good readable copy. Nice Golden Age. I'm kind of thumbing through to see if I could see how to get my free TV. Oh, there it is. It's a contest. Each of the following magazines carry four stories. Du-du-du-du-du. You have to buy comics. You could get a TV or a stereo. Or roller skates. Interesting. That's kind of a big deal for a 10-center, though, to have a TV. That's an expensive thing back then. Fighting Army number 104. This is from Charlton. This one's a pretty beat up copy, but in terms of everything being intact, it's nice. The no spline split. Pretty dinged up on the cover, especially the right side. But other than that, a good copy. Fighting Marines from Charlton. This is issue 116. This one looks. I'm gonna have to look at the cover, a real cover of it, to see if somebody. It looks like somebody took a marker and drew some blood on the guy's bandana. But it could be art. It just looks that way. It's interesting. Tales of the Green Beret. I do have a couple issues of this. This one, I don't remember the cover if I have it. This is from Dell, and this is issue number 5. This one has some rust on the staples, a split on the cover. It's pretty banged up. It has some staining. But I guess I would give this a G or a VG minus. This one, Combat, is a Del Cent 15. This is a VG. This one looks pretty intact. Art in this is really nice. I like that one. Attack at Sea. This is Charlton number 5. This one has some staining on the back cover, but other than that, it's pretty nice. This one is nice, except it had a sticker on the cover, it looked like, that was taken off of it. Other than that, it would probably be a fine. But this is Attack number 31, our fighting forces in action. Fighting Army number 130, also from Charlton. This one I think I have. This one has some wicked claw tears. It looks like a cat started to rip the cover apart. And the back has a tear, but other than that, really good. Total War, I don't think I own this one. I have to check, but I do own these Mars Patrol. There's several issues of Mars Patrol because I went on a my comic shop run to get those. But man, Dennis, this was a great surprise package. And the two gems that are the limited collector's editions of Tarzan. I love treasury sized editions of comic books. And he sent me some. He said it sounded like he got some better copies, but these copies are really nice, in my opinion. They look great. This is issue 22 and 29. And yeah, those were so excited to get. He packed them really nice, too. Yeah, it was such a great thing. Thank you, Dennis. These are some great ones, and they could be coming up in the segment that we're doing now on Geek Brunch called a random comic review. Any of these could come up randomly, depending on my mood. So, on Retrocast for sure. So, yeah, the really great comics, you know, and the Mars Patrols are all painted covers. They're beautiful. They're Gold Key comics. So really good comics. The G.I. Joe ones I needed. And I don't think I've read these. I'm reading some of them in trade, but these two don't look familiar that I've read them recently. So I still have to inventory those in my database. I already inventoried the Tarzans, but I need to do the comics and grade them accordingly when I see you know when I put them into the database. So I need to do that today. I'm probably going to do it right after the show, but that's a question that I'll answer for you, Dallo, almost every episode because I what am I into this week? What do I want? And let's see if I can stay the course on Spawn. I ordered two things off of eBay, one heavy metal issue that I missed because DCBS couldn't get it for me for whatever reason, shortages or whatever. And you can't really miss those issues because it's an anthology and you miss part of the story. Anthology is really hard to get into, and I've been buying several Dark Horse Presents lately. Matter of fact, I got issue 7. This one I can't see the number. 34, number 35, number 37. Because I went on the Sin City Dark Horse Comics Present, I decided I wanted to get more Dark Horse Presents. I got 42. 43, 69, 141, and 150. So those had Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so you could see that, you know, Dark Horse Presents went very deep into the catalog. So let's get into the weekly reads, and then I'm gonna get something to eat. So we'll start on the August 23rd through August 29th. We'll start at the bottom. There's a total of 17 comics. That's not good. I like to be in the 30s, so this was not a good week. Marvel, there were 5. 1 Dynamite, 6 DC, 4 Boom, 1 Ablaze. So I must have been on a Defenders Best Defense kick on the Marvel Unlimited app. I'm not sure if I own these. I think I do, but I may have missed an issue. Let's see, Best Defense Defenders. Yeah, they're just one issue. Yeah, I own that. I think I own all of them. There might be one that I missed. But we'll go to the 3 out of 5s. The 3 out of 5s I gave Defenders the best defense. This is Silver Surfer and Doctor Strange try to fight Nebulon and this space train of death that is going to ram itself into Earth. And Strange is trying to prevent a future that happens with the help of his friends. He's trying to prevent a post-apocalyptic scenario. Has to be continued in Guardians of the Galaxy, Invaders, Doctor Strange, and Immortal Hulk. So Immortal Hulk does take out this alien cheetah creatures that seem to be in bed with Mephisto. And then we have Silver Surfer, the best defense. 3 out of 5. Silver Surfer deals with Nebulon, and he is depowered during that series. We then get to the 4 out of 5s. We have Dark Blood number 1. This is a World War II story about an African American in the 1950s that gets off work and he's chased by a white man, very racial profiled. Yeah, he threatens him and calls him names and pulls a gun on him. But this guy that came back from World War II is a fighter pilot and works in the restaurant. He has powers, and they sort of kick into gear, sends that guy off running. There are flashback scenes to World War II where he was a black fighter pilot, and I enjoyed this series. Matter of fact, I read the second one. I liked it. That was from Boom Studios. Also from Boom, The Basilisk, number 1 and 3. Some strange people that look like they broke out of an asylum of some sort kill people in a town. Many years later, a young woman hunts one of them down and she commits to helping her take down her associates. So it's one of these aliens teams up with a regular woman that's seeking vengeance to take down those associates. They have strange powers with their eyes and can kill others with just a glare. The group plans on going after the woman and wants revenge, and she is setting a trap. Two of these gods go into a diner and slaughter everyone. Later, the police and helicopters go after them, and part of the town is destroyed. So it's sort of a woman seeking revenge because she lost her family because of these gods in the town, and teaming up with one of their own, who realizes that they're not doing good, so she betrays the other gods. We then have Immortal Hulk, the best defense. Hulk discovers the dead body of Doctor Strange. That's sort of interesting, consider the death of Doctor Strange is going on right now. This event seemed to circle around the death of Doctor Strange. We had Doctor Strange, the best defense number 1. The world is gone, and all that is left is the old man Strange. We then get into Icon and Rocket season 1, a retelling of the origin story of Icon and Rocket with the break-in and how she convinces him to become a superhero. Hardware season 1, Curtis Metcalf is wanted and believed responsible for the Big Bang. He is not, but Alva is. Alva betrays him and is also going after him. Hardware goes after Edwin Alva, but does not kill him. That'll sound familiar to you too if you've read the original Milestone Hardware series. Elvira meets Vincent Price. The 4 out of 5s were Dark Blood, Basilisk 1 through 3, Immortal Hulk best defense, Doctor Strange the best defense. Namor, the best defense, which I forgot to say that, but Namor seeks allies against the surface world. The daughter of the remote Atlanteans wants to help, but the Father King does not want to help Namor. I forgot to mention that. Icon and Rocket, Hardware, Elvira meets Vincent Price, the last 4 out of 5. Elvira can't get a break and find a job, She then comes upon a mystery of an old movie with the ghost of Vincent Price that could bring the end of the world. Rise of the Ram is the name of that movie. The five out of fives that week were The Simmer, Cimmerian, The Man-Eaters of Zambulia. This is number two. Conan makes a deal with the Zambi for sex after they go after an evil sorcerer. He agrees and defeats the leader and sorcerer, and she gets a potion to revive her lover. She's walking around pretty naked almost in this entire series. She is the queen, really, and does not live up to her end of the bargain to have sex with Conan, but Conan is the one who instigated the whole thing by stealing the ring they were after when Zambi thought it was the sorcerer. We have Milestone Returns number zero, which introduced the Milestone universe back. It introduces the Big Bang incident and how it affected Static, Darius, Icon, and Rocket and Hardware. There's also two stories of two other characters who are not mentioned but seem to be part of this Milestone relaunch. You got Superman number three and five, Legends crossover, where Lois goes to interview Glorious Godfrey and his anti-superhero campaign. That's what I mean by Legends crossover, because Legends was a six-issue miniseries that really introduced the. It's known for this introducing the Suicide Squad and the New Justice League. Meanwhile, Darkseid sends his Omega beams after Superman. And they go after Clark Kent and transport him to Apocalypse, where he hides until he needs to save a woman from getting killed and has to fight. But a parasite gets the best of him, and he goes into the fire pit. Superman versus a vet who is killing people and has kryptonite bullets. That is Bloodsport. Lark is worried about Lois, so he goes to an architectural dig, where they discover advanced technology in the ruins. Clark is unshaven. One of the scientists activates a door with a key, and a giant mummy fights Clark because he can change to Superman because, oh, he fights that giant mummy and he can't change to Superman because he has a beard, which I thought was really weird, like stubble, and he knows that if he changes, that he'll have other people saying, "Well, Lo Clark and is the same identity as Superman." So yeah, that was pretty funny. That's the John Byrne Superman. And then we get into August 30th, 2021 to September 5th, 2021. The five out of five. Shows that I had, well, actually, the three out of five TV show, I watched Brand New Cherry Flavor. It's sort of like a True Blood for witches. Very unusual story, very gross. Like, has this woman vomiting up cats and stuff like that, one being birthed out of her side, and it's just weird shit. It started off better because of the Hollywood part of it. Like, she makes a movie and this producer steals it from her, and then it's like a revenge story, but she turns to witchcraft. But yeah, it started off awesome, and then it kind of deteriorated for me personally, and then had a really anticlimactic ending, which didn't really end. And then the five out of five was season five of Money Heist. Absolutely loved it. Great series. You should get in on it. There were 30 comics, so I at least met my weekly goal. I had one Marvel and 29 DC, and I will say that this whole thing was pretty much a Future State catch up. I finished all of Future State, believe it or not, and took me long this long to do it. We had the three out of fives were Future State, Shazam number one and two. This has had the ingredients for everything I love, especially the B-listers, but the writing did not draw me in. And at the end, it says to be continued in Future State Black Adam. But I don't see a Future State Black item. Art was great. Good to see the Creeper, Question, and the Spectre. And I do think that this follow-on series that came out, Shazam, it's a 4-issue mini, has a lot to do with this one too, indirectly. Future State Teen Titans. I read issue one a long time ago, so it was difficult remembering where I left off. Plays into the Shazam title. Shows the future for what Titans Academy is going to be. That was Future State Teen Titans number 2, Future State Immortal Wonder Woman number 1 and 2. It's an interesting Future State book because it is way into the future and shows the death of Batman, Superman, and the last day of Wonder Woman. The backup of Nubia has a beautiful artwork, but for having Grail and Cersei there, it was a lot of talking heads. But the one thing I complain about Future State is it wasn't real thought out in terms of like timelines. It seems like some are like way in the future, some are like sort of current, and they kind of kept the ideas going on in the DC going forward, and some are they're just weird. Then we have Future State Nightwing 1 and 2. Nightwing and the next Batman take on the Peacekeeper 6. Enjoyed this, but really did not add too much more to the Magistrate saga other than it sort of seems like the Batman family is uniting. So those were 3 out of 5s. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Future State Robin Eternal. As I was reading this one, I was wondering why Stephanie was not in prison. Well, editor's note. And this issue too explains this. This was the death of Tim Drake, but was exposed to the Lazarus resin that the magistrate was using for the cybers. Also included featured Darcy. Blackhawk 212. Read a beat up copy of Blackhawk 212. Interesting villain in the Mulder. This is kind of when the Blackhawks were almost like superheroes. There's also a backup story had Chop Chop saving the day against kamikaze pilots. First time I've ever seen a trader section in the letters page where people could seek out and trade comic book back issues. So that was a 12 center, and that one was accidentally sent to me on an eBay purchase where I ordered one thing and they sent me a Blackhawk comic. The seller did fix it and send me the right book and said, just keep up that beat up copy of Blackhawk. So I did, and I read it. We got Future State Wonder Woman number 2. Yara Flor goes to the underworld to try to rescue Pretoria in the beautifully drawn tale by Joelle Jones. We have Future State Justice League number 2. It is a new Justice League versus the White Martians. The backup is the Justice League Dark versus Merlin, Enchantress, and others. We have Future State Superman Wonder Woman number 1. I like this one because Yara Flor and John have to switch villains in order to win. Yara takes on Solaris and John takes on the God of the Sun. I really do like their chemistry in here, and also in the Justice League. We got Future State Green Lantern 1 and 2. The power battery is out, and John, Gnort, and Salvik are trying to evacuate a planet before the Cuds come and kill everyone. Only John survives. John Guy unites two warring tribes in the future and reestablishes his bar. Jessica Cruz protects a lantern outputs from the Sinestro Corps, a teenage lantern. And Mojo on their first mission, Hal Jordan seeks out the lanterns. And that's interesting too because, when they fired Dan DiDio, I think it was going to show it was because of his next generational thing. But if you look, they kind of stuck to the same plan because the next generation thing kind of made a new Batman that's still in comics. It made John Superman. That's still in comics. It had Yara Flor. She's Wonder Girl now in the comics. It has in Green Lantern in the current comics, Jessica Cruz is doing something with the Sinestro Corps. So a lot of these things that they planted in Future State still exist. So it makes you wonder, how much of Dan DiDio's plan still was executed. It seems like a good portion of it. We have Future State, Superman, Batman. Batman, Superman, number one and two. Superman comes to Gotham searching for a drug from the False Face gang. Gets caught up with the magistrate, who does have kryptonite. They help a father and daughter escape Professor Pig, and Batman asks Superman to leave Gotham. We have Truth and Justice, number one. Vixen, Impala, Dr. Mist, and Yima of the Global Guardians have to take on a scientist possessed by a totem. Could this be the return of the Global Guardians? That's what I liked about the series, 4 out of 5. Sensational Wonder Woman number one. Hawkgirl tries to free Wonder Woman from being trapped in her mind with a domestic life. Hawkgirl tries to free Wonder Woman from being trapped in her own mind, in a domestic life, like a wife in. By Dr. Psycho. Future State Harlequin number two finally got around to finishing the Future State Harlequin. Some excellent dialogue between Harley and Scarecrow as they work together to take down the Black Mask. We then have a Marvel book, Sword number five, The Resurrection of Fabian Cortez. I remember this fucker on the asteroid. It's been a while. But he confronts the Quiet Council naked and afraid. That's a TV show. Talking about how they should open the law to allow it to be okay to murder humans. The Snark War is averted by two mutants, Amelia Voigt and Kuara of the Burning Heart. This series suffers from finding its own identity. It's really hard to see what this book is. It's mostly tied into the Krakoa stuff and then tied into the sword stuff and then other comics as well as like the King of whatever the Venom arc was at the time, so it's just weird. The next Batman Future State, the new Batman tries to protect this couple that murdered someone from the magistrate. The husband dies and the woman turns herself in. The Outsiders versus the magistrate. Katana dies but leaves the Sword of Duke to avenge. Where am I? Getting cross-eyed on my reading here. Katana dies but gives her sword to Duke to avenge, to seek revenge. Catwoman, Poison Ivy, and Dee Dee fight the magistrate and her creator. Unfortunately, Dee Dee dies. She was the robot, the cyber robot. The Batgirls rescue Barbara and escape prison. The Arkham Asylum inmates battle the magistrate and lose Dr. Phosphorus. We have Future State Catwoman 1 and 2. Very cool heist in freeing the children of Gotham and co coincidentally freeing Bruce from a high-speed magistrate train with Catwoman and Talia. Really enjoyed this issue by Ram V. Swamp Thing number 1. The Green chooses a new champion in the name of Levi Kamei. The Unexpected 222. I bought this for Mark Silvestri, but it's the final issue and one of Mark Silvestri's early works for DC. It's the final issue of Unexpected. The first story was about a man who lost his wife to childbirth and had to raise his daughter by himself later to find she was an alien. When they picked her up, they brought him back a clone of his wife. The next story is about two brothers. One is a cop and the other is a vampire. The cop hunts down his brother, but the vampire sacrifices himself to the sun. The last is Alexander the Great story where he can't get the other side get to the other side because he does not have the money to pay the ferryman. In other words, he dies and can't pay the ferryman because the coins were stolen by one of his men. We have Ghost 104. This is also one of the early works of Mark Silvestri. Not many in this book will give you not many books will give you a Robert Kaniger and a Mark Silvestri on the same story, but this one does. We get a gentleman ghost story as the host is drawn by Tony DeZuniga. We get a nice prehistoric ghost story, a futuristic robot ghost story, and a cool, crazier director stuntman story. So that was Ghosts 104. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. We get Jenny Hex special. Jenny's father comes back to take an artifact from the crate she inherited. Jenny works with her friends to stop him from taking over the body of her best friend. Future State Swamp Thing number 2. This was by Ram V, which led into the series. Swamp Thing and the Rebels take on the military, and Jason Woodrue, who uses obsidian to darken the world. Swamp Thing sacrifices parts of himself for humanity to lead them into the future. And that's it for this week. That wraps up 2 weeks, which went from 8/23/2021 to September 5th of 2021. Again, summarized, there were 55 books. Well, 55, my ass. There were 30 books. And the 5 out of 5s we'll go through again were Jenny Hex Special number 1, Future State Swamp Thing number 2, and The Cimmerian, The Man-Eaters of Zamboula number 2, Milestone Returns number 0, and Superman the Volume 2 with John Byrne number 3 and 5, 3 through 5. So that summarizes the episode. I want to thank you for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. And what else do I have to do? You can find this at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can go to Facebook or whatever the new name is, Mega, or I don't know what they named it, to follow the new episode threads there. You find Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button, follow the episode thread there. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, and all the other episodes I do there. That's the best way to get a hold of me, or you could send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Dennis Chandler again for sending me all those wonderful comics, especially those treasury size Tarzans. They look gorgeous. And I love pulp characters, Tarzan and Zorro and stuff like that. Just Conan. I love that stuff. I love everything though, to tell you the truth, Dennis. So I love any, like I've even got like an itch to start buying a Harvey comics, Hot Stuff and Casper. I don't have much of those, and the ones that I do have, I've been buying from American Mythology, who's been reprinting a lot of that early material. But I did find some of the Hot Stuff, and I forget what the other one, Spooky, some Harvey comics at the antique store, but they were rather expensive, and I didn't have time to like cross-reference them to see if they really should be that expensive, but they were like $25 each, so I didn't go for it. I was trying to keep a low profile there and try to buy books that were in the $2 range, or $2 to $5 range. So next episode, I should be opening up another box. This one is from Aaron Myers, and oh, I forgot to mention that I did pick up some Painkiller Jane series. I picked up a Painkiller Jane Hellboy. I picked up a Painkiller Jane Dark Child, and what else did I picked up something illustrated from Eclipse. It was like Fantasy Illustrated, which had some Bernie Wrightson and all kinds of different. It's an anthology, but there was a lot of big names on it, and I like Eclipse books. So yep, that catches you up to what I've purchased my vacation, and now I'm getting really hungry and sleepy at the same time. So I am going to probably eat some microwave meal right now. Whatever I can find in the. Oh, I forgot to say that I finally tried a Sliders from White Castle. I've been wanting to try a White Castle forever. There was a White Castle in Chicago when I went to C2E2, but we didn't get around to going there. We were too busy eating pizza and Italian food. But I finally got to go. We ordered a box of 20 hamburgers for four of us. I ate five. I ate six, actually, because I ate one of Josie's, my sister-in-law's, and I think Carl ate six too, and then Barb ate five, and Josie ate four, three. But it came with fries, and then we had a drink that go along with it, and they were pretty good. I liked them. The frozen ones taste a lot like those, though. They're not much different. So if you like the frozen ones, you just get a fresher burger if you go to an actual store. And the ones that you get frozen don't have a pickle. They have dehydrated onions and the cheese and the burger, but not the pickle. So that adds some flavor to it for sure. But yeah, I finally got to try that. I was real happy about that. And then we ate some Hawaiian food. That seems to be a staple. We always eat Hawaiian food. But we tried a new place and it was really good. That wraps it everything up. I'll be back hopefully next week to talk about some more. I might record another one this weekend, but I'm going to inventory the comic books that that Dennis sent me, and then I still have to inventory the collected editions I got from DCBS. Forgot to mention I did pick up a Gunslinger Spawn at Target, which I was really happy to find. I found two more spawns. They had a Redeemer and another spawn. I think it was Plague Spawn at a Target in Phoenix, but I didn't have any room to ship it, so I didn't. I held out on those, but if I do find them, I will get them. I still regret not picking up the clown when I had the chance at the Target, at our local Target. But thank you for listening, and let me know. Send me questions. I really enjoy the questions. I have some more for next episode, and I'll be back. And talk to you later and have a good week. So I just have to hit stop.